Hello, this is the No Wellness Wankery podcast, the podcast where we look at all the wellness information out there and say, is this wellness? Is this wellness? Is this wankery? And we go through it all. My name is Jenna DePeace, and I'm joined by the brains behind wondering whether this is wellness or wankery, because she's very qualified, unlike myself. She's a nutritionist, dietitian, Lindy Cohen.
Hello, hello. I like that intro. That was like making my brain feel very big.
I know. I feel like my intros, when I off the cuff at there, I really pump you up.
You really pump me up. I need you around all the time to tell me how fabulous I am.
Today, I want to chat to you because I've had two experiences. One time I went to a cafe and I ordered a coffee and I was like, can I just have a regular cappuccino? And they were like, with milk from the cow? And
what? They asked you with milk from the cow?
I was like, yeah, just milk from the cow, like no alternative milks. Mm-hmm. And then the other day I was having a discussion with a group of people and I discovered I was the only one out of the 10 people that still drank milk from the cow. And one of the people in the conversation was like, I'm so shocked that you still drink milk. And I was like, where have I been that milk is scary? What happened with milk?
It's fascinating that milk from the cow.
Milk from the cow.
By the way, I love that phrase. It's an interesting phrase. That has become the exception and not the rule. So where does this all come from? So we know that there was this huge plant-based milk movement, which you've noticed over the last 10 years, really. It's gotten huge. Started very much with the almond milks, oat milk. What other milks? Oh, you get all
macadamia milk, soy milk. I feel like soy milk was the first one.
That was the first, but it was always like, it was always around, but it wasn't trendy. It's never been the trendiest option. But then once almond milk came on the scene, it became a very trendy thing. People were making their own milks at home.
Oat milk.
Yes, oat milk. So, okay, let's talk about this. So basically, how do you make a plant-based milk? You would take whatever product you're making it from, whether it's oats or almonds, and you would blend it and blitz it up into small particles. You'd add water to it. You'd then drain it. So you're taking out all the pulp, all the fiber, basically. And what you're remaining with is some of the nutrients found from the actual product and a whole lot of water. Everyone's probably tasted them before. They tend to taste like less, there's less fattiness to them because cow's milk has a lot more of that naturally occurring fat. It's also got things like calcium and a higher level of protein in them. Anyway, so you have these like plant-based milks. And I think the whole thing that we have these days is that we believe that they are healthier for us, but are they really?
This is the thing, because I've tried to drink coffee with other milks because people are telling me that's what you're supposed to do. And they just really don't taste very good. I just don't enjoy them. Yeah. Like, are people just forcing themselves to enjoy it?
Okay, so let's talk about taste first. So taste, I personally don't think they're nearly as tasty as dairy milk. Maybe that's because I grew up on dairy milk and that's what I like. Some people enjoy the taste. And if that's you, then good for you. Happy for you. I think almond milk is my least favorite tasting. It's the least creamy, in my opinion, whereas oat milk is my favorite because I find of all of them, not only is it nutritionally the best, but I also think it is round in flavor. And I think that's a pretty good thing. Okay, so that's taste. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like oat milk definitely tastes the best out of all of them, I think, if you're going to go with an alternative milk. Almond milk with coffee, I think, tastes
sour.
Terrible. I do not like that at all. But in saying that, like in my smoothies, I like almond milk. Mm-hmm. Like I think that tastes nice. I can also have regular milk, but almond milk, I think, tastes nice. I also really like the flavored oat milks. Mm. They're tasty.
Like
a chocolate oat milk. Chocolate cow's milk is beautiful. We cannot knock chocolate cow's milk. But chocolate oat milk I think is nice too. But in coffee, I feel like even oat milk, I think it just tastes like chalky.
Yeah, there's a separation that happens as well because the particles kind of just break up away from each other and it can taste chalky. So that's taste. But I don't think that's the main reason people are doing it. I think there are two other primary reasons. One of them is the environmental impact. There's a huge environmental discussion going on around, you know, cows and how they produce a lot of methane and that impact on the environment. So I think there's a whole bunch of people who are trying to make a more environmentally conscious decision there, which I think is part of the equation. And if that is you and you're thinking about that, I would say dairy definitely does place quite a large strain on the environment, but let's not underestimate the impact of something like almonds, which are the most thirsty crop that you actually need to use so much water. So the amount of water that you need to actually grow an almond, and then you're basically taking the pulp, you're getting the micro little bits out of it. You're not eating the rest of the almonds.
And adding more water.
You're adding water. So you're diluting it further. I just don't – I can't get on board with the idea that that is a more environmentally conscious – hugely more environmentally conscious. I actually have not done the math about like comparing the two. But from what I've seen, it is a bit of a debate about is it actually a more environmentally conscious option. Not sure about that. But with something like oats, you can get a whole lot more oat for less water. And so it would be probably a whole lot more of an environmentally friendly option.
There's also probably the people that are doing it from just an animal perspective, which is fair. They want to go more away from animal products in general.
Mm-hmm.
But then I suppose eating less meat or doing those things are all the type of things you can contribute to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely something I am trying to do. I am trying to eat a little bit less meat, but I'm still including things like dairy into my food. So let's talk about the nutrition, because nutrition does play a big part of why I still include dairy into my in my diet. Okay, so dairy is a very interesting kind of food group. So it has, we've got all the calcium, which by the way, it is the best source of calcium in our diet. You still need to have three different types of dairy throughout the day in order to get your calcium requirements. I think it's a quarter of Australian women are low in calcium, which leads to osteoporosis, which is a huge issue, especially as you get older. As an older woman, your bones aren't nearly as strong. And I think that's really interesting to note, that we are underestimating how much calcium we're needing, because we're seeing from older women that this is turning out to be a big problem.
Milk, yogurt, cheese, all give you calcium.
Yes, all these things. Yeah, you know, even something like cream would, but we're not considering that because that's a bit more of like a sometimes food. Whereas these things like cheese, yogurt, milk, that is everyday kinds of foods that we should be having.
What about, you were saying the other day about how you don't get the calcium if it's in coffee though?
Oh, okay. Well, that changes the absorption because coffee interacts with dairy and therefore you may not absorb it all. So that's kind of,
okay.
That is a valid thing. So no, a coffee with a little bit of milk, that isn't going to count towards your calcium for the day.
Because you're probably actually not having that much milk in it anyway if it's a small coffee.
No, you're not. And so with these plant-based milks, I actually feel like if you need to be checking that they are calcium fortified, or you need to be making sure that you're getting calcium from somewhere else. So if you are swapping away from dairy, just ticking that box is really important for your bone health. The other thing is protein. Is dairy naturally does have that protein. So you can have a glass of milk and it's going to give you like a really nice, you know, I think it's like, depends on the milk, could be like 10 grams of protein, depending on how much you have. But it's going to be that nice little like serve of protein. I think everyone gets obsessed with these protein powders, but like a glass of milk in its natural state, it's like a really nice source of protein. And also something like a yogurt. So yogurt has, it's a very good source of probiotics if it has those probiotics added to it. So it's very good for our gut microbiome, especially if you're eating a whole lot of fiber with it. So if we're cutting out dairy and not having yogurt, you need to be sure that you're having probiotics in other sources. So maybe, let's say you want to have a coconut yogurt, making sure that you've actually got probiotic added, which nowadays they do add the probiotic. That's just an important thing to support your gut health. But as you can see, you have this natural package of dairy that already ticks all these nutritional boxes. And anytime we're stepping away from it,
you need to tick the boxes yourself.
Just make sure you're ticking those boxes. So yeah. Let's talk about also the fat content in dairy, right? So there's the whole low fat, full fat kind of thing. So a full fat milk has got 3% fat, and then a skim milk has like 0.1 or 0.2% fat. So really,
these are very low numbers.
Super low fat. And then I don't know if you've ever seen, if you go to like a fruit shop and they've got those yogurts, those cafe style yogurts,
yeah,
and it's like only this 93% fat free. And I'm like, so you're telling me that has 7% fat? That is like
really high.
That's quite high, but you're selling it to me like it's a health claim, even though it's not. I just always find that really interesting that they do that. Yeah. But like a full fat milk, whether you have a full fat milk, I personally have light milk because I find full fat milk too rich for me. Whether you go for full fat or low fat, if you are going for dairy, I think it's a personal preference on what makes you feel good. They are not adding more sugar to lighter milks with less fat. But when you reduce the fat, you're going to change the ratio. So you're naturally going to have more sugar. it is up to you and how that dairy product makes you feel, but you don't need to avoid full fat and you don't need to go to skim, or you don't need to avoid skim either. Cause I think there's a bit of like shaming around people who still have light milk, like
100%.
Yeah. Like it's, and I just think, why don't we just keep flip flopping between shaming one side of the spectrum? Well, how about everyone just does what they feel good with?
I saw a cafe in Melbourne started a trend of not charging people extra money for alternative milks, because they're saying, we want people having alternative milks because they believe in the environmental cause, and so many people do, but because they're trendy and that's what people want, it's kind of in like a kind of like diet culture vibe, is therefore people will pay more money for it, like health foods are more expensive. And I think it's interesting that some cafes are switching to, we don't need to charge you extra money for these milks. It's not just about making money.
I haven't checked the price, but is plant-based milks, are they significantly more expensive than dairy milk? And is that shifting as more and more people go to plant-based milks, that the supply has increased, which means that they can sell them for less money?
Yeah, I don't know in the supermarkets. I don't buy them, but I know like if you're at a cafe, it's always like 50 cents extra or 80 cents extra for plant-based milks.
And I mean, coffees in Australia are already pretty expensive.
They're already pretty expensive. So
that does get a little bit crazy. I think that's an interesting idea. Just popping right back to the fat content for a second. So with dairy, you have saturated fats that are naturally occurring in dairy. And so we know typically saturated fats aren't healthy for us. But this is very kind of interesting thing that happens with dairy. For some reason, the research shows that it doesn't adversely affect us in the same way that saturated fat from other sources does. And the scientists, they can't quite work this out. So there's this idea called the food matrix. So the food matrix is the idea that when you have a food in its full format, in the whole context of it, so for example, yogurt, for some reason, the interaction of those nutrients when all together means that certain nutrients don't react in the same way that they would in a different context.
Right. So it's like all the, this all works together, like the fiber in an apple.
Yeah. So you might kind of go like, look at the nutrition panel and be like, oh, well, that's not good. That's not good. But somehow in the context of that food, it can be okay. So that's a new kind of idea where we stop focusing on nutrients that are bad, and we start talking about food as like the context of the whole food and how that food affects people. And I just think that's kind of interesting. So when it comes to your heart health, there isn't enough evidence to say that you shouldn't be having dairy, that it's bad for you. I think there's a whole bunch of benefits from like having, particularly with your bone health, that actually it's a far better thing to be doing, and we shouldn't be avoiding it for, you know, cholesterol levels or whatever the reason. I think in the 90s, people were very like trying to go in the low fat thing because of things like heart health, and that's kind of been debunked.
Oh, geez, things move fast.
They do, but the fundamentals have remained the same, I think.
Yeah, it's probably like things come up and then they get debunked, and then the baseline has remained the same of what people should be eating.
And like, let me just like defluff it for you right now. Like, are eggs bad for you? No, but don't have a million of them. Is dairy bad for you? No, just don't only eat dairy.
Yeah.
Get the full mix and the balance. And I think, so just to kind of like pull this into a conversation, I feel like there are people who can't have dairy for either an allergy or an intolerance. So people who are lactose intolerant. If you're from East Asia, 70 to 100% of people from East Asia can't digest lactose, which is the sugar that's found in milk. So that's very interesting. If you're Arab, West African, Jewish, Greek, Italian, you're at a much higher risk of having a lactose intolerance. So what happens in lactose intolerance? That's when your body doesn't produce enough of the enzyme called lactase, which is what breaks down lactose, the sugar found in milk, right? So for those people, I can fully understand why they're going to be going for those plant-based alternatives as well, because before they tasted like crap and now we're getting a whole lot better.
Yeah, they're getting better.
They are getting tastier. They are getting better. They're getting more like generally just available, and that's a good thing as well. If you're a person who tolerates dairy, who enjoys dairy, I don't think you need to change and transform it. I think if you watch a Netflix documentary telling you that dairy is terrible for you, please don't do that, because I think, once again, it's all about the context, it's all about having how much you're having as well. And I think if you are going to change away from dairy, which I wouldn't personally recommend, you just need to be making sure that you are ticking those other nutrient boxes, the things that you're missing out on.
Would you say that's when people could be having supplements if they need like calcium or prebiotics or the things that you get from dairy?
Probiotics,
they should be getting it from other foods.
It's hard to get your probiotics from other foods. So, you know, people often talk about these fermented foods or probiotics. They're not technically probiotics. So kefir may have probiotics to it, but kimchi is just a ferment. So probiotics is a whole topic, but for a probiotic to be considered a probiotic, it needs to be able to get through to your gut level, which means it has to go through all the acid in your stomach and actually survive in order to be able to do good. Now, these ferments are really good for us, but they don't reach probiotic level because they're not actually having that therapeutic benefit. Is it useful to take a probiotic? So that's a whole different topic about, you know, different strains that do different things. I would, if you're considering doing supplements and you're like, I don't want to have dairy, cool, go see a dietitian nutritionist who can kind of go, okay, cool, this is how we're going to balance it out. Make sure you're getting enough of the calcium, the probiotic, ensure you're getting a good source of protein. Because otherwise, when we do take out certain things, we can create a bit more of an imbalance, which is fundamentally what we're trying to prevent. You can certainly be healthy without having dairy, and good for you if it's what makes you feel good.
I'm glad I can continue to have dairy because it makes me feel good.
You may.
Thank you.
I hope we've answered your questions there when it comes to having dairy. I know it is a really controversial topic, we ultimately can be healthy in many ways. There's not just one way to be healthy, so let's embrace that. If you've got any other questions, though, send me a DM on Instagram and hopefully I'll be able to answer your question. You can leave me a voice note if you want to turn up on the podcast to help us decide, is it wellness or is it wankery?
If the Instagram is nude_nutritionist, and as always, if you're liking the podcast, like, subscribe, leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you and we'll chat to you next time.
Hey, I've got a question for you. Does binge eating feel like your dirty secret? And are you sick of trying to be good, but falling off the bandwagon and losing control around food? If so, I can help. Binge Free Academy teaches you how to beat binge eating and feel in control around food, giving you doable, evidence-based strategies. You'll get lifetime access to 30 practical step-by-step video lessons, 12 group coaching calls with me, and become part of my Binge Free Academy community for life. As a recovered binge eater, I get it. I know there's no quick fix or one-stop shop for binge eating. And so that's why I want to give you the ongoing support and care you need and deserve. And I'm so confident it will help you that I'm offering you a 30-day money-back guarantee. So no risk, all reward. You can take control over your food and your life. And I think it's the best investment you'll ever make towards reclaiming your life, your health, and your happiness. To learn more about Binge Free Academy, you can click the link in the show notes or go to lindycohen.com/binge-free-academy.